Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent d'Arch Abbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and such a pleasure to talk with Bishop David O'Connell, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Bishop O'Connell, thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure.
When you and I have talked in the past, we discussed your experience with the Unbound model of setting the captives free, a prayer ministry designed and promoted by Neil Lozano and his team, including the book Unbound and conferences that are taking place all over the world, ministers being trained all over the world with a lot of experience of freedom for a lot of the participants. And just wondered if you could comment a little bit on how you see that ministry being helpful in some of the current climate in the church as we face different questions of abuse crisis and so many people who are hurt and alienated from their from the Catholic Church.
So as I've gone around the diocese in my region in the last couple of months to do some listening sessions, many people have stood up and said, they would start off by saying, I've been abused, now not by a priest, but I've been abused in this person, by this person or that person in my family. One person, my father, another person, my brother, my cousin, uncles, grandfathers. Terribly traumatic and destructive experiences, traumas for these people that they live with their whole lives. Some of them have actually said they have found some. They have found some help. There was the church that helped them, their parish that helped them. And what I begin to see is that there's a huge amount of suffering in our society because of sexual abuse. Of children, of young people, huge amount of suffering. The good news is that there's less and less abuse because of coming from the clergy or coming from the clerics, and the bad news is that there's a notion of suffering out there that people are immersed in, living with. Many people who have been abused, all the people who have been abused, are like in a living hell.
Mm.
You know, the people say these days, I don't believe in hell. I said, I'm not so sure about next life, but I know there's many people are living in a hell in this life. They're living in a hell because of the abuse of somebody against them.
Mm.
Or they're living in a kind of a hell of self-hate, self-condemnation, despair because of sins of abortion, or because people are living in the hell of that they have brought upon themselves by being involved in pornography and masturbation and all these different ways in which you open up the doors to a terrible destruction in your soul, in your own heart. So, for me, I witnessed that for years and years, of course, living in the inner city and ministering there for 27 years before I became a bishop. I would meet so many people who are living suffering because of terrible abuse in their countries of origin. People coming from very poor parts of Mexico or El Salvador or Honduras or Guatemala, where there was so much addiction, incest, abandonment, family breakdown, the traumas of people's lives, and then of course their own, and then compounded them by their own acting out of their self-hate and their self-rejection and the immorality and everything. And, you know, we could do a certain amount for them, but feeling a lot of frustration, really, because even the people with whom you walk with and accompany them, suffering over years, they couldn't. It was terrible, terrible, deep suffering. And even applying all the methods of psychology and counseling and therapy and everything, it was helpful just to help people to survive.
Mm.
But it wasn't until I got the opportunity to actually receive myself the prayers of Unbound that Father Arthur from the Koinonia of St. John the Baptist did for me about 10 years ago, that I began to realize that and we have a huge spiritual armory here that we can bring to bear on the suffering in which people are in order to deliver them. Not just deliver them from evil, but to deliver them from the lives of, deliver them from hell by the power of Jesus Christ. And so for me, Unbound was a way of bringing into people's lives different prayers, the five keys, I call them the five prayers, really. The different prayers that we use in different parts of our ministry, and use in our liturgies, and use in our own spirituality, but put them together and bring them to bear on the to help the people who are suffering so much. And so that when I saw people receive, in my own life, I think that the, even though I'd been a priest for many, many years and I had been trying to sincerely live my priesthood, I still felt plagued by anxiety, plagued by anger at times. You know, that were almost sometimes just bigger than me. You know, and but when Father Arthur prayed for me, I felt some liberation, some peace. I felt it that afternoon, I felt this. Driving along Imperial Highway in the middle of South Central Los Angeles, among the gangs and the drugs and the homelessness and ugliest many times of the streets of South LA, that I just felt this joy and this peace.
Mm.
It was so beautiful. It was a joy that I had actually never, I don't think, experienced ever in my life before. I would confess every now and then, I feel terrible anger sometimes, or I feel, you know, I have this terrible anxiety. I would pray about it, ask God, why do I have this anxiety? Father Arthur said, well, maybe there's a kind of a spirit of anxiety that's taken over in your life, or a spirit of anger taken over in your life. And then I felt that afternoon, like I felt this joy and this peace and this freedom. That was beautiful, and I began to realize this must be God's plan for how we're supposed to feel.
Mm.
This is what the God, our loving Father, had in mind for Adam and Eve, and for all of us. That we would have this joy and peace and love in our hearts. I got a glimpse of it. And that was, for me, a beautiful, beautiful experience in my life. And of course, I found out that after 3 or 4 days, the anxiety came back again. Not as bad as before, but so I said these prayers for myself. And it went away again. And then I kept doing that, repeating itself over the next weeks, and I felt the anxiety getting more and more diminished. So things that I'd confessed and been forgiven for, I began to realize maybe something hung on there, hung on in my in my life. But with the prayers of liberation, they began to, and the unbound prayers, they began to get diminished. Until eventually I had moved from being smaller than those to being bigger than those.
Mm.
When I would have this anxiety or this anger, I would just notice it and just... I also practice a little bit of centering prayer, just notice the anger. Breathe into it and imagine myself inside saying the name Jesus, where the pain is, where the anger is, where the anxiety is, and just watch it dissipate. And doing the prayers of liberation so that then you're freed from that. This was something that I began to study a bit about the Unbound prayers and read the book. Many people tell me actually, I have that book on my shelf. I have that book on my desk. I didn't mean to read. I said, read it. You know, it's like it seems so simple. It is so simple, but yet it, for me, it's been something, a great gift from God in my life, in my priesthood. And I've been taught. I could say sometimes in for an hour and a half, 2 hours, if you're in confessions, and just praying the unbound prayers for 3 or 4 minutes with people, and to see their faces change before my eyes, and to see them say, "I can breathe," or "I feel like a burden lifted from me," or "I felt like this terrible weight has gone from me," and that would give me so much. And I would my whole priesthood, my whole life would have been one of those experiences. I said, this is why God wanted me to be a priest. To bring the power of Jesus Christ to people who are suffering so much because of their own sin or the sins of others against them. And so then bringing it to this particular time in the history of the church, and to see that we've over the last couple of days been listening to the pain of people who are suffering so much because of abuse by members of the clergy and by others, But I mean, there's a constant theme that we're kind of, which is almost like we're accepting this, that they feel victimized. They're living and they have to go from crisis to crisis in their lives. They have no joy in their lives. They're just survivors, just trying to survive, just holding on. Many of them, even the best ones, are just trying to hold on. And their lives are, and yet I have a great longing to just pray with you. But people are afraid of these prayers for some reason, you know. They're afraid, even as bishops or priests are afraid of these prayers. And that's a bit heavy, isn't it? They say, no. What's heavy is the destruction of people's lives caused by Satan.
Yes.
That's what's heavy. That's what's terrible. These prayers of Unbound for me are definitely keys to open up a new life for people, that to put them under the power of Jesus Christ. And there's such wisdom in them, and they go right to the heart of everything that we hold dear, that we cannot save ourselves. We have to bring the power of Jesus Christ to bear upon people's lives. And we have failed in many ways too, and the failure has been very bad over the last 40 or 50 years. And I'm wondering, is this why the amount of sin and suffering has increased tremendously in the world, is that when people came to us with all these anxiety or anger, self-hate, self-rejection, despair, depression, acting out in all sorts of different ways because of their own sin or because of the sins of others against them. We've sent them to psychologists and psychotherapists. Or we've told them, "This, you must just live a moral life now and you will be okay." And all that's perfectly fine. But we haven't brought to bear upon them the only power that can overcome Satan, which is the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Eucharist, which can be applied for people in the five prayers and the five keys of Unbound. It's applying the precious blood, applying the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving us the benefits of his death and resurrection. And I think I do all the work of being a bishop and everything. I do all the, even these days, go and do the listening sessions and try to make sure that we're all following all the right protocols to make sure none of our clergy and our young people are safe, completely safe and loved and helped and everything. But it's when I can have, when I can do the Unbound prayers that I can actually say, well, this is what the world needs right now. This is what the world has always needed. This is why Jesus Christ came into the world. You know, this is helps me to see what the mystery of salvation is all about. That God had a plan for, God the Father had a plan for humanity to live in this joy of communion with each other and with God himself. It was a beautiful plan. And Satan came in to destroy it, and we cooperated in that sin. Adam and Eve cooperated in that sin, and it was compounded over and over again as the generations went on. And that Father wanted to send his Son to overcome Satan, who was destroying God's plan for his beloved children.
Mm.
And we have a glimpse of that plan, and we can enjoy it, but we have to. It's only by the power of Jesus Christ. That's first. For me, it's also these Unbound prayers are a powerful means of evangelization, because we talk about getting people an experience of the encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's those who are destroyed by their own sins and the others against them who long for that. And I used to say that in South Central Los Angeles, these young people, 15, 16 years old, they already knew, even though they were young, they would know that what they really needed, that they knew there was some evil destroying their lives. And they had tried everything, even at 15, 16 years old, they tried everything. They carried so much pain since they were children. Father was gone, mom and dad was fighting, addiction in the home, abandonment, abuse, rejection, violence, traumatic violence, where they were living with, bullying, all these sorts of things. And then the destruction of gang involvement and violence and addiction. And feeling very alone, isolated. And they would know. And they would respond when you would say to them, I can pray with you. Help you to get closer to Jesus Christ. Help to experience this new life that he wants to give you. And they would respond to that because they knew that nothing else had worked in their lives. Mm. Nothing else worked. You know, and they were... the vast majority would never get the opportunity to go to have some serious therapy in their lives, but they were trying drugs to kill the pain, or drinking something to kill the pain, or going joining a gang to feel some sense of belonging, some sense of identity, some sense of being loved, some place that would feel the warmth of love in their lives. All sorts of ways they were seeking that, but would find it in those prayers of liberation that come from Jesus Christ and the Unbound ministry.
Beautiful.
So I would love, you know, it's really only those who have suffered because of their own sin, the sins of others against them, that will appreciate this. But then, actually, that's all of us.
So true.
Yeah.
Beautiful testimony and pastoral guidance, Bishop O'Connell, about the value of Unbound. As you said, there's a place for psychology. There's a place for going into some of the wounds. There's an importance of accompaniment and being with people in their pain and connecting them to community. But then also, I like the way that Neil describes, in summary, Unbound is a practical application of the gospel to our lives.
Amen, yeah. And then all the other things can happen in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
When the people have got their own, first they get some, they get the liberation in Jesus Christ. You also can teach them skills, skills for the spiritual warfare, so they can begin to apply those in their own lives. They also get the ability to, as the fourth key talks about, assuming their authority as children of baptized children of God, united to the body of Christ, assuming the authority they get as part of the priests of the faithful. And this is another issue about this. We're suffering so much from these days, is that we need to give people back again a sense of how to regain their own authority over their own spiritual lives, authority over their own actions. Because one of the sins of clericalism is that we have assumed all the authority on ourselves. And we have a huge amount of responsibility, yes. And we have authority, yes. Most of all, spiritual authority, which we need to start applying for the good of the people. Not just applying to running a diocese. This is the most powerful authority of all, the spiritual authority we're given. And so when I say these prayers, I mean, these prayers actually help me to realize, as a priest and as a bishop, what my life was all about. But I would say by my authority as a ordained Roman Catholic bishop, I break the bond of these unclean spirits and I cast you out and I rebuke you and cast you out and tell you to leave my sister, my brother, in peace. They're under the authority of Jesus, they're under your authority. But also people can do those prayers themselves. I tell them, say, by my authority as a baptized child of God, I command you to break the bond of these spirits, unclean spirits in my life that I've named, and I cast you out. And they begin a sense of their own spiritual authority because they also belong to the body of Christ. And this is this huge, huge part also of a way out of this crisis that we're in right now. It's a crisis of a crisis of leadership, but it's much more than that. It's a crisis of authority, that we've subsumed all the authority to ourselves, and people felt they had no authority, but we have to give them they have responsibility for their own spiritual lives, and they have authority to engage in that spiritual warfare and to reject the spirit that's of pornography, spirit of anger, of rage. You have authority over those things. You have to exercise it in Jesus Christ, and it's powerful. So I have to give people a sense of their own power as well. And people have been saying this to me, you know, about people not having a, people feel they don't have a voice. I was afraid to say this to the bishop. I was afraid to challenge the priest. I was afraid to challenge the archbishop about this issue. You know, who am I to speak? I always assumed they knew best. They would take care of everything. Everything was going to be fine. But maybe we've given that false. We've assumed too much authority to ourselves. But we have to start returning to people their own authority as parents over their children, as baptized children of God, each one over their own lives. You have some authority there.
Mm.
You don't have to give in to everything. You don't even have to give in to these bad thoughts in your head.
Hmm.
You can cast them out.
Yes.
You know, so that's another part of it too. And I'm hearing from Rome, from interventions in Rome, from the youth and everything at the synod, that young people are really needing spiritual. They're asking us to be spiritual fathers to them, and to show them the way to holiness.
Mm.
And for me, this is a way to holiness.
Yes.
This is how you. Somebody said it. This is how you help people to move from the darkness to the light, from living in hell to living in this. In this new life of the children of God.
Mm. Bishop O'Connell, thank you so much for your reflections, for your authority and your spiritual fatherhood that you're sharing, not only with the people in Los Angeles, for whom we will pray as we pray for you, but also sharing that with us through the radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak.
Could you lead us in a little prayer as we wrap up?
Okay. So maybe all of you who are listening could say a little prayer. Let's say a little prayer of liberation together. And so it begins by renewing our love for Jesus Christ. So, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
I place my life under your authority.
I place my life under your authority.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I love you, Lord Jesus, and ask you to forgive me for my sins.
I love you, Lord Jesus, and ask you to forgive me for my sins.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive all those who have hurt me.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive all those who have hurt me.
And those who have done me damage.
And those who have done me damage.
Amen.
Amen.
The third key is, in the name of Jesus, I renounce all those destructive spirits that have come into my life through my own sin. And all the spirits have come into my life through the sins of others against me.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce all those spirits that have come into my life through my own sin, and all those spirits that have come into my life through those who have sinned against me.
Amen.
Amen.
And by my authority as a Roman Catholic bishop, I break the bond of all these spirits that we have mentioned, and I command you to leave all those who are listening, to leave them in peace. They're under the authority of Jesus, they're not under your authority. They are loved by Jesus. I ask St. Michael the Archangel place a barrier of protection around all those who are listening to my voice. I ask you, Mary, our beloved, beautiful, Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, to protect all those who are listening to my voice right now, to protect them under your mantle of love and protection and compassion. Amen.
Amen.
And for all of you who are listening, may God the Father, who loves you with love beyond all telling, who loves you as his beautiful child, who has a plan for your life of joy and hope and peace and healing and consolation, who also has a plan for your life that you bring that consolation and love and peace and healing to all those you love. This is planned for you, that when you are fully renewed again in Jesus, that your words and your actions, even your very presence, will be a source of blessing, a source of hope for a world that needs it so much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Bishop David O'Connell, thank you so much for your time.
Very good.